Good morning and welcome, everyone. It's lovely to be able to be together for this Palm Sunday service as we are now entering into Holy Week. Hopefully, as you've come in, you've all got an order of service for Lent and one of your palm crosses. If you've got that and a hymn book nearby, you'll have everything that you need. And a very warm welcome to each and every one of you. We meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. On this Palm Sunday, we remember all that we have been doing through Lent. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, throughout Lent, we have been preparing by works of love and self-sacrifice for the celebration of our Lord's death and resurrection. Today, we come together to begin this solemn celebration in union with the Church throughout the world. Christ enters his own city to complete his work as our Saviour, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us go with him in faith and love, so that united with him in his sufferings, we may share in his risen life. In a moment, we're going to sing our first hymn, which is a great classic for Palm Sunday, Ride On in Majesty. And in the scene, as we hear it in the Gospel, we will see that they were waving palm branches, and you hopefully all have a palm cross in front of you. So before we begin, I invite you to hold your palm cross up as we pray that these crosses will be a symbol to us to aid us in our worship. God, our Saviour, whose Son, Jesus Christ, entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let these palms be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So let us stand and sing our first hymn, which is number 485, Ride On in Majesty.
Thank you.
together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated as we come to a time of confession. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him. Let us then renounce our willfulness and ask his mercy by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our collect prayer for this Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated to hear our Bible readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and sing once again hymn number 150, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Hail.
Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Palm Sunday is a day of great joy and rejoicing. Jesus is coming on a colt into Jerusalem at the beginning of what we know will be the final week of his life. He's coming in not quietly or surreptitiously, but he is riding in as the fulfillment of prophecy, like we have heard in Zechariah, to crowds of people shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Now, people sometimes try to twist this story and say, well, they didn't know what was coming. That is true. They did not know what was coming. But that doesn't mean that they were wrong to be celebrating. They had seen in Jesus these last few years of ministry an incredible man, a man who had taught them stories that they could remember and share with one another, stories that had meaning, stories that were surprising, stories that seemed all the more exciting because the Pharisees didn't seem to like them when they seemed to be the bad guys in them. This is a man who, wherever he went, was laying hands on all who were sick and unwell, and they were made better. Can you imagine if we as a community today had that opportunity? We might think to ourselves, well, we haven't got anyone in here who's paralyzed or who's blind, but we have got people in here who have things they would like healed. I'm quite sure as we look around the room, we can think of our own maladies and things, where a little touch from Jesus to make our lives restored and healthy again actually would be something worth fighting for. This is a man who not only heals people, but has done signs and wonders that people cannot explain. The disciples have seen fish appear as if on his command when they cast their nets in the sea, and the nets are swamped with a massive catch. These are people who have seen him pray over dead children and bring them back to life. This is people who have seen him turn water into wine to celebrate a wedding. These are people who have seen him again and again doing the things of God, demonstrating that he's not just a wise man, he's not just a moral teacher, but he is doing something special like hasn't been seen in a very long time. And he's been making a pilgrimage, a journey from the north of Israel down to Jerusalem, preaching and teaching in the cities as they go. And as it comes along, there's a sense of momentum. There's a sense of joy, a sense of interest. If he's saying and doing these things here in Galilee, in the backwaters of the countryside, when he gets to Jerusalem, he must be about to do something spectacular. And they gather around him, and they sing these songs, and they make these hymns along the way. Now, some people point out that people would be gathering for Passover, and therefore there would be a festival atmosphere anyway. And this is true. There would have been a festival atmosphere anyway. This is part of why people are so eager and willing to get excited, because this man Jesus is coming to Jerusalem for Passover. Perhaps he's going to do another of his famous sermons, like we had with the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps he's going to have a showdown with the Pharisees. Perhaps he's going to do something really special and interesting and noteworthy. It's interesting that people talk about the festival hymns and things, because they say, well, maybe they weren't singing about Jesus. Maybe he's walking along and these hymns saying Hosanna to the one who's coming in the name of the Lord is something that the people would be singing and saying anyway. Well, there are psalms which are similar. There are psalms that they would have sung on those occasions. But I think it is quite clear that when we read the gospel story of this, that this is all about Jesus, because it's a combination of the prophecy being fulfilled and the people singing and laying palms down. There is an intentionality to what is happening. There is, in a sense, a declaration on the part of Jesus. I am here to do something special. And one of the reasons why I think this is that the Pharisees complain to Jesus at the end of our reading that the people are singing these things. If the Pharisees are complaining to Jesus that the people are singing these things, that suggests that the Pharisees didn't want them singing the things, which means that they probably wouldn't normally be singing these ones. And yet Jesus' response is interesting. He quotes from Psalm 8. And he says, out of the infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. Now, I don't know how many of you have Psalm 8 memorized. I personally don't. I have to look these things up and turn in my Bible to look at them. But reading through Psalm 8, we have an amazing psalm. It opens, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so the Pharisees say to Jesus, stop these people from singing these things to you. This is blasphemy. How could you? And Jesus' response is to say, have you not heard the psalm where the children are singing the praises of God? This has been prepared. This is an intentional association of Jesus, not just with the prophet Zechariah, but with the one whom God will magnify, because although he is less than the angels, he will be crowned with glory and honor. This rhymes with our theme that we hear in the letter to the Philippians, where we have that great hymn that Jesus, not taking equality with God as something to be lorded over people, humbled himself, taking the form of a servant and being prepared to die even a death upon the cross. A death upon the cross. Jesus knows what he is doing. He is coming into Jerusalem to win a victory. But he knows that the victory that he shall win is not how people are anticipating it might be. He is not here to overthrow the Romans in a military force and power and prowess. He is here to overthrow the very power of death itself. The people whose lives he has touched and restored have been signs pointing towards something greater. He is coming to lay down his life, to be lesser than the angels. Even though he is himself God, he is coming to be the most human being there has ever been. He is coming, embracing our humanity, that he might receive ill treatment, injustice, false accusation, slander, a trial under the cover of darkness. He might be mocked and beaten. He will be crucified in front of people who will scorn him and claim that if he really were the man he claims to be, he would be able to do a miraculous sign to save himself. But Jesus has not come to save himself. He has come to save each of us. He has come because the world in which we live is broken and hurting as a consequence of sin. And there is a price to be paid for that, and that price is death. That is why we all in our time shall die. But God steps into the world as Jesus Christ to make it clear that something new is happening. In Jesus, he is our humanity, the same kind of humanness that we each share. And he will die our death in the worst of circumstances, so that we might have no excuse, so there's nothing that we can say in our hearts, in our secrets, in our own thoughts, that we don't share even with our family or friends. There is nothing within us that is too far distant from God. For God has come from the heavens into our humanity to die our death with us and for us, and to rise again, to demonstrate that death is no longer the end. In his body and his blood upon the cross, he makes the final sacrifice that is necessary to cleanse us from our guilt and our shame, from our trauma and our offenses, from all that we have done, wittingly or unwittingly, that has let ourselves down, that has impacted others, and that has disappointed God. The joy of this is that when we look at the symbol of the cross, it is complete. There is nothing that we can add to this. I don't get to add my hair or my beard or my clothes onto the cross and say, look, Lord, I have added something that will make me good enough for you. All I have is the empty cross of Jesus. It is finished. It is complete. And in that completeness, there is the offering to us of the eternal friendship of God, the forgiveness of our sins, and the hope of life eternal. And this is not a vain hope as a concept that's a nice idea or a fairy tale. This is a hope that matters when we're sitting in the doctor's waiting rooms. This is a hope that matters when we're meeting with lawyers to settle disputes. This is a hope that matters when we are grieving the loss of our loved ones. This is a hope that sustains us, that propels us slowly and steadily but certainly deeper into the arms of the love of God, who has suffered and died for us, that there might be nothing in our life that he cannot know us in. And so the invitation we have today is to celebrate and rejoice in the victory that Jesus wins for us on the cross. Throughout Holy Week, we shall be reflecting more on those moments. And there is a place for sorrow. There is a place for sadness. But there is also a place for joy and hope in the sign of the cross. And that is why the palms which were used to celebrate his arrival are twisted and folded up into the palm crosses that we hold today. And so I invite you this morning to reflect on your lives. Are you complete? Have you received that hope in Jesus Christ? He is here, arriving in style to make the point, look at me and decide for yourself who you think I am. And if you will choose to believe in Jesus, if you will choose to repent of your sins and to receive his forgiveness, which is completely offered for you on the cross, then just as he rose again from the dead, you too can be a new creation. This is Palm Sunday. Jesus has been coming to do something spectacular. And this Holy Week, if we're paying attention, we might just see the love of God through the cross of Christ breaking into our own lives. By the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to take up your palm crosses and your order of service. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, who has died and risen again for you, please do stand and join with me in sharing the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Would you please be seated as we come to a time of prayer.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our morning service on Palm Sunday and for sending your Son Jesus into our world as prophesied by Zechariah. Born in the humility of a stable in Bethlehem, yet worshipped by the Magi, he preached as a humble servant and entered Jerusalem on a donkey. He was obedient even to death on a cross for our own redemption and for the redemption of all the world. Help us to be humble and yet strong in our Christian beliefs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for future peace and stability within our embittered world, trusting and believing that love will overcome hatred as taught by Jesus. Help us to be kind and loving to one another and to welcome and encourage newcomers into our church at St. Margaret's. We pray that our world will see the end of wars, poverty, disease, and environmental threats. We pray for future generations that compassion, reconciliation, fairness, and mutual respect will eventually overcome anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy burdens, especially within families. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing hardship and anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them, and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for Amanda R., continuing with her treatment, Bob V., unwell, Carol and Jeff, who are housebound, and Jeff is also receiving palliative care, Chris and his family for the positive outcome from recent chemotherapy treatment, Heather, Gerald, Adrian, Harry, Oliver, Thomas and family on the death of Philip Cooper, Graham Lang undergoing treatment and his family, Harry Knox in hospital, Jade recently baptised, Ronnie and Doreen Jones, Sheila Cousins, Yvonne Lyons in hospital, and also her husband Clifford, who has been caring for her. We pray for our youth club and for our sanctuary cafe. Then, in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us individually. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in our beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others in our community so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of Christ's peace. I have talked towards the end of my sermon about this idea of the eternal friendship of God. And our hymn is number 400, and it is My Song is Love Unknown. And you'll notice at a couple of points, it refers to God as our friend indeed, who at our need his life did spend. So let us hold on to that idea of friendship with God as we prayerfully sing this hymn together. Number 400, My Song is Love Unknown.
Thank you.
compassion of your only Son, make us pleasing to you, that we may gain your mercy and love, not by any merits of our own, but by his perfect sacrifice. We ask this in his name. Amen. Would you please sit or kneel for our communion prayer? The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, the broken bread and wine outpoured, may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all of it Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes. And justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We take this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come to the rail, but if you would rather have a blessing, please do come forward, and I shall be glad to pray a blessing over you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Blood of Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant, and in obedience and died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And together we say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, just a few notices as we head into Holy Week. We have a few things going on. Hopefully you will have received or be able to pick up from the sanctuary one of our Easter postcards, which has got all of the times and dates on it. Please do check that out if you have one. And if you're delivering some of those, I think there may be one or two bags left in the sanctuary to collect for delivery. So if you're doing those, please do check. But our dates for Holy Week, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we have our traditional Compline services at 9 o'clock in the evening at Holy Trinity Church. On Maundy Thursday, we have a service of Holy Communion here in St. Margaret's at 8 o'clock, followed by the stripping of the altars and listening to the Watch Gospels. On Friday morning at 11 o'clock, some of us will be gathering on the common with the cross to hear the Passion narrative from the Gospel and to say the Lord's Prayer together. And we do invite members of other churches to come along to that as well. And then at 2 o'clock on Friday in the afternoon at Holy Trinity, there will be the Good Friday meditation service, finishing around about 3 o'clock, the traditional time at which Jesus died. Saturday evening in here at 7 o'clock, there will be some short reflections as we wait and anticipate Easter. And these are reflections looking through the Old Testament, anticipating the resurrection. And then on Sunday morning, it's all happening, 6 o'clock, for those of you that feel like waking up even earlier than we have done today with the changing clocks. 6 o'clock at Holy Trinity for the sunrise service with the fire and everything else. There will be a breakfast available following that for anyone that would like to join us. Our 8 o'clock service, our 9:30 and our 11 o'clock services are all happening. Please do invite people along. It's an occasion where we do sometimes have people interested in coming to church that perhaps don't ordinarily. And it's a great opportunity to invite them along as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. The last thing to say is that I will be doing morning and evening prayer throughout this week in churches. So 8:30 morning prayer in Holy Trinity, 4:30 in the afternoon for an early evening prayer. That's what works for dinner with Alfred. Throughout the week, if you would like to join me. And on Thursday at lunchtime, we will have our sort of Holy Week Lent group for anyone that would like to come along and reflect on the Maundy Thursday material from David Ford's book. Bring a sandwich and come along to Holy Trinity Church Hall at 12 o'clock, and we'll have an hour or so reflecting on Maundy Thursday together there. This is why I said at the beginning, check the postcards that have all the dates on it, because there's far too many things for us to all hold in our heads. And the one that I have missed, it's not too late for last minute sign-ups, I don't think. If you have any children or grandchildren that would like to come along this afternoon for our crafternoon activities at 2:30 across the road, please do drag them along. They'll have a lovely time. I think that brings our notices to an end, other than to say on Easter Monday, we have our Easter Monday walk. Speak to David Winder and he'll let you know where to sign up and how to order your food and so on. We'll be walking from here to the Hit or Miss in Penn Street. Got lots going on in Holy Week, as it should be, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at whatever it is you decide to come along and join us for. With enough of me talking, let us stand up and sing and praise our Lord one last time for today. Number 1157, All Glory, Lord, and Honour to Thee, Redeemer King. Give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him, And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.